a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? I'm Mike Wilson with Any Hour Services, and we're proud to help bring you this podcast. If you ever need a resource for information about your home's electrical, plumbing, heating, or air conditioning system, you can find Any Hour Services on Facebook, YouTube, or online at anyhourservices.com.
Dave and DeGenevieve.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to our final hour on the Dave and DeGenevieve show here on KSL.
It's been
News
flying
Radio.
By.
It really has.
I know.
This has been so wonderful, but we've been looking forward to this all
That's
morning
right.
long.
We have.
If you're watching on our webcam, our studio got really full all of a sudden.
We've got great guests in here. We're excited.
Yes, we've got, and we want to introduce first, Staff Sergeant Stanley Nance is here with us at, is it 101 years old? Is that correct?
91.
91? No, 101.
Really? Oh, 101.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Okay.
He's here and also with us here.
Well, that's right, 101. I have it written down.
You got
here.
It written down. 101.
I can't read. Sorry.
Let's not cheat him from that decade.
I don't know. My bad. I know.
We also have his granddaughter-in-law, Michelle Christensen, and his great-granddaughter, Madeline Christensen. Welcome, all of you. Thanks for
Thank
being
you.
Here.
So we had, there was a story in the Deseret News on the 4th of July, just last Thursday. And I was very excited. One of my reporters, Katie McKellar, had an opportunity to sit down with you all last week and hear this story about the Ghost Army. And I was so excited to learn about this and hear about this. It's something I'd never heard of before, and I think a lot of people haven't. And then I downloaded a book over the weekend and read all about Stanley, read all about the adventures of the Ghost Army there. And so we're very excited to talk to you about it today. Let me just, if I could, just tell a little bit about it. So this was the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops back in World War II. And Madeline has researched all about this, right? So you're kind of an expert, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, tell us about this. What you tell us a little bit about what the 23rd did. What was their job?
So they were a deceptive unit in World War II that deceived the Germans by use of inflatable tanks, radio trickery, and sonic deception.
So inflatable tanks,
mm-hmm.
radio trickery, and sonic deception. Tell mm-hmm. us more about what that all meant and what okay. that was about.
So the inflatable tanks are kind of the iconic thing of the Ghost Army. They were made out of canvas, and they would inflate them overnight, and the Germans would wake up and see all these tanks, and they'd think there's a battalion there or something. But that wasn't really what it was. The aerial deception with that visual things was only part of it, because Germans didn't use aerial towards the end of the war because they started losing their planes. But
oh.
what really is cool is the radio and sonic. So Grandpa here, he did radio. So they would impersonate what the real unit was doing, and they would become that unit and fake where the unit really was with the radio, and they would send the messages with the radio. And Grandpa, you use the operator's fist. So it's kind of like dialect in language. So they had Morse code with the telegraphs.
That's cool.
And every single operator kind of had a different way that they did their dots and dashes. So every single time they had to study the operator and learn how to do their way of dots and dashes, how to impersonate their handwriting in Morse code. And every single day they did the impossible and did exactly what the Germans never knew.
So you were a telegrapher, Stanley. That was your job then, right?
A what?
That your job was to be a telegrapher. You did the telegraph.
No, I was radio.
Radio, okay.
Radio only.
Okay.
I sent messages.
Uh-huh.
I was given a truck of my own to drive wherever they assigned me.
And I understand you named that truck too, right?
I what?
You had a name for that truck?
Yes.
What was that called?
Kilowatt Command.
Kilowatt Command.
Oh,
with
I love
K's.
That.
With
K.
I like that.
With K's.
I like that.
K-I-L. And the assignment that I had was to operate a radio, Morse code,
uh-huh,
and receive messages by Morse code.
So as I understand it, then the Ghost Army, your job was sometimes there would be a division that would move out, and you needed to, well, the Ghost Army would move in, and while they were moving somewhere else, you were trying to deceive the Germans to make them still believe that that division was that, still there. Is that right?
Is correct.
Okay, and maybe where were the other divisions going? Somewhere else to attack, a surprise attack somewhere?
No, that's
It would bolster a situation that they had planned for a special thrust against the German army.
Okay.
Because we would not replace any unless they had already been assigned to join other units and form a stronger fighting front.
Okay. And so, as Madeline was saying, each of these units had their own little quirks about how they did radio signals and such, and you had to learn each division, each person's techniques and copy them? Was that the idea?
Well, if I were to take over a radio of any division or any battalion that I was assigned to take over,
uh-huh,
I would have to meet with that operator maybe 2 or 3 hours before and learn his technique so I could exactly mimic him on his radio of how he operated the key.
Wow. Yeah.
Well enough to where the Germans could not detect whether someone knew than the one regularly given by that particular division.
Because if they suspected that there was something amiss, you guys were very vulnerable. Am I right?
Yes, we had to strengthen our set to where the output would be exactly the same all the time. And in doing that, we would rev up the generator to where it was at high speed.
Uh-huh.
And then in order to get it exactly the same when I took over as it was what the operator already had, I would take a pencil with a lead in it and hold it up to the antenna.
Okay.
So my arc was exactly the same length as the one that he had.
Wow. Sounds complicated.
Too complicated.
We would be using his radio to begin with. I would transmit from his radio for an hour or two,
uh-huh,
and learn his and watch him and take and get his technique.
Whatever it took to make it seamless to the Germans,
his technique
to the enemy.
Had to be, I had to mimic it exactly.
Wow. That's fascinating.
And so I would operate his radio, and then he would cut off because that division would be leaving out of the territory, And then I would take over. I would get in my vehicle and I would take over the so I could mimic for mine the same as we did with his.
Wow.
So it could not be detected on anyone listening by the enemy.
Right, right.
So it had to be precisely the same and as exact as
yeah.
what the radio.
Oh, no. No detail too small, it sounds like.
So we want to come back and learn more about how all of this came to light and how now we're learning about this incredible endeavor and some of the awards finally being awarded in terms of this great history lesson that we may not know about. We've got to take a break here for some commercials and some headlines. We'll come back with in-studio Staff Sergeant Stanley Nance, his granddaughter Michelle Christensen, and his great-daughter Madeline Christensen here on KSL News Radio. Stay tuned.
Dave and Dujanovic. Dave and Dujanovic. They may disagree.
Like, how do you get so hung up on an opinion?
I was bugged. I protested with my pocketbook.
But they don't disrespect.
You make an amazing point.
That is a new conversation. Dave and Dujanovic on KSL News Radio.
And welcome back into the show. I'm Mary Richards alongside Brian West of the Deseret News, and we're talking about this story that's been just number one on thedeseretnews.com as people
yes.
read about the Ghost Army. And reading that what this unit did, what they did for our country and for the world is just incredible, but nobody knew.
Right. And as I understand it, there's some people are saying that the Ghost Army that you're responsible for, Stanley, I mean, that you were part of, helped cut off 6 months, perhaps, from the war, and how many lives would have been saved because of the Ghost Army? That's says so much right there. That's amazing. So again, we've been talking about all of the radio units that you were involved in trying to basically, this was like a road show that they would go around and
yeah.
try to trick the Germans, right? It was like a show. I mean, a lot of people in your unit were artists, right? I mean, they were. So that was part of it. They had inflatable planes, inflatable tanks, huge speakers with sound effects that would mimic things. There was some people in your unit, I understand, were impersonating officers as part of the ruse. And yet all of this about the Ghost Army has been secret until, I guess it was declassified in 1996. Is that right?
Yeah.
Thereabouts.
So is this something I'm assuming that the family didn't know any about this, right? And your wife didn't even know about what you did exactly in World War II. Is that correct?
Well, the success was based upon how secret we kept things.
Sure.
Because it was something new in warfare that had never been done before.
Yeah.
And that's mimicking a regular army when we just had dummies. And so
when your family asked you, what did you do in the war? What did you tell them, Stanley? What would you say to them? Because you know you had to keep it secret still.
Well, Janae came home from school when she was in the fourth grade. She came home from school one day. They must have been talking about something about the World War II.
Uh-huh.
And she said to me, "Dad, what did you do in the Army?" I told her exactly. She said to me, "Oh, Dad, they didn't do that."
She didn't believe you.
Well, why would anyone? It seems outrageous.
Yeah, it was too far flung for her to believe it. And yet she was young. She was, 12 years old or thereabouts. And so I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my neighbors. I was told not to breathe a word about it to anybody. And so for the 65 years, I didn't.
Wow. Was that hard to do?
Well,
I hope you would be proud of what you did. We're certainly impressed.
I was very proud.
Yes.
But still, any time that I made any comment about it, it was poo-pooed.
A lot of the veterans...
I would like to know the truth about what you did.
A lot of the veterans would say...
They didn't believe it. They couldn't believe it because it wasn't normal warfare. And
it's different.
It was very exceptional, and it worked. And that's what we were told after the war. It worked with the Germans. We're now heading for Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were preparing for that when they dropped the bomb. And so that canceled that out.
Made that unnecessary.
Yeah.
So Madeline had a chance. You talked with several members of the Ghost Army recently.
Yeah.
Now tell us, Madeline, you're 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've took an interest in this story and in wanting to know more about that. And you've won an award since then. Tell us about how that all started. How did you get interested in this? Obviously from your great-grandpa and his stories, so that piques your interest. But most people your age don't care about World War II.
I love everything, and I absolutely love history. The reason the award came from the National History Day competition, and I've participated in it in 3 years now.
Oh, wow.
And so I love learning about history. And last year, Grandpa's 101 now, but last year he was 100, so for his big centennial birthday party, the whole family got together and everything, and he had this book on the coffee table, and it was the Ghost Army book by Rick Beyer.
Uh-huh.
And it was, we're all kind of looking at it, and we were like, we just didn't know what it was, and I was kind of interested because I'm a history buff, and I'm like, I've never heard about this. My history teacher, who's a huge World War II history buff, never have taught this
really?
To me. So it's like, what in the world is the thing I've missed in history class? And so I started to research it, and it was just super interesting. And as the year, so that was in February, so towards like the summer when I had a little off time to research it, some of the first things that's popped up was a tour by Rick Beyer with the Ghost Army Legacy Project.
Okay.
And so I went on that tour, and it was in Europe, and it covered the footsteps of the Ghost Army. It went to 5 countries, and it was just super amazing, and that just sparked my interest. And
to be there where they were.
Yeah. And so on the tour, Grandpa didn't make it, but there was another veteran, Bernie Bluestein, that made it, and he was super duper nice. And I got to interview him there, and we got to know each other, and that was fun. And so when I came home, I was like, okay, I got to crack down on this. I got to research this. And so I read the other books. I watched the documentary. Because I went on this tour led by the historian, I kind of got an insider's foot in it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So he was able to give me some of the contacts that he used for the documentary. And so I was able to kind of file down what information was true or not because it was a little outdated. And so I was able to interview 8 veterans. And it was super amazing. And then when I went out to D.C. for the national competition and when I won the award, I was able to drive back because we drove to from Utah to D.C.
Oh, that's a long time. About 3 days or so or a week? Or,
But on the way back, we were able to stop at these places and see the veterans face to face and show them my award and say, you are finally getting recognized. And so
what were some of their reactions when you talked to them? You were saying earlier you were trying to tell us about interviewing and what kind of things they talked about and said.
I mean, they said a lot of things. They're really humble men. The secrecy was so drilled into them. And because it was so secret, each of the units never knew what another unit was doing or another person, so they didn't feel what they were doing was very big because they never saw the large picture. And so being able to tell them what they really did, it kind of, I don't know, it just showed what they really did, and it made them feel so proud, and it kind of made them know that they actually did something. And but they're still so humble about it, and it's just amazing that these men did so much, and they're not trying to put it out there. But it needs to be out there.
It's like a big play, but none of the actors knew what the big picture. They never saw the show. They just had their part in it, I guess. That's fascinating to me.
I know, to think about. And I'm so struck by what you said about that humility and how that is in such contrast with today and our attitudes today. And this, look at me, look what I've done, give me some recognition For what? You know, some viral video? I mean, this was saving the world.
Yes, absolutely.
And, yeah, and to be so humble about it. Did you have to ask lots of questions to get them to open up, or did they just kind of say, I'm relieved to be able to talk about this?
I don't know. None of them felt like PTSD or anything about having to hold the secret, but they kind of got a little tickled when I was able to talk to them, and they're like, oh, this story's important. Someone cares after 75 years.
Oh, wow.
Like, someone actually cares.
Yeah, I love that so much. If you're just joining us, stay tuned through the news, and we'll continue this discussion with Staff Sergeant Stanley Nance here in studio, his granddaughter-in-law, Michelle Christensen, his great-granddaughter, Madeline Christensen, who did all this research and brought this to light for us here in our own state. This man, a part of the Ghost Army in World War II. We're going to continue this conversation after the news. Stay tuned here to Dave and Ujanovic with Mary Richards and Brian West hosting for you on KSL News Radio.
Dave and Ujanovic. Dave and Ujanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into the show. David Ujanovic, usually here with you, but it's Mary Richards and Brian West in with you this hour.
Good morning. We're having a great time, aren't we, hearing about this?
So fascinating.
Yes.
We've been talking with Staff Sergeant Stanley Nance, who was a member of the Ghost Army in World War II, and all of this just coming to light fairly recently because it was so secretive that nobody knew. And a lot of that coming to light is because of his great-granddaughter's work. Madeline Christensen is here in studio. Thanks for sticking with us as we keep picking your brain on this amazing story. Where did we leave off and where did we want to come?
Well, I wanted to ask Stanley, so can you tell us about how you were recruited into this secret ghost army? I mean, you were already serving in the army doing something else when you were recruited. Is that right?
Well, I was drafted into the 11th Armored Division out of my home in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
I joined the 11th Armored Division, took basic training. And after basic training, they sent me to radio school in Fort Knox, where I learned all about Morse code and the transmission of it, the copying of the messages that came in. And from that, I was told when I left that I had the top score of 350 men.
Oh, wow.
In the Army.
Okay.
And so I went ahead and I was in the Mojave Desert with the 11th Armored Division. And there was a Jeep that drove in the compound about 9 o'clock at night where the vehicles were parked. The men were around in the tree section of the area, playing craps and cars and anything else. And I was in my half track listening to the radio on KNX or KPI or one of them. I had AM radio as well, as I could listen to dance music, etc.
Sure.
And there appeared a Jeep that came into the area very rapidly, enough to where in his stopping, he threw a lot of gravel around, and he shouted to the men over in the police there, do you have a man here by the name of Nance? Mm. And they shouted back, yes, he's in the half track. So a head appeared over the side of my head, at my half track where I was listening to the radio, and he said to me, are you Nance? And I said, yes. He said, get your equipment and come with me.
Just like
uh-oh. Sounds like you're in trouble.
Right then I lost my identity because they shipped me. Well, let me continue one thing here, which I think is interesting, and that is I asked him when I got in his Jeep, I asked him, what's this all about? And he said, I have no information. The only thing I've been given is to have you in Pasadena by 7 o'clock in the morning. So they took me to Pasadena the next morning, and we came to a barracks there with about two barracks and also an office building.
Uh-huh.
And I went in the office building and looked around, and there was about 20 desks in the big room. And there was one man that behind a desk, a soldier, that raised his arm up and motioned to me to come to his desk. And so I went to his desk, and he said, "Here." And he handed me an envelope, and he said, "Here's a ticket for you to get on the train and to go back to Tennessee." He said, "The man that brought you in your truck will show you which train to take." And I said to him, I said, "I have no information on what I'm doing. Can you tell me?"
Yeah.
And he said to me, "Don't you know?"
Oh, nobody knew.
I said, "I know nothing." And he says, "I don't know anything either, because all I'm told is giving you a white envelope with a ticket in it." So the man put me on the train that I was to be carried back to Tennessee. And when I got to Tennessee, there was a half a dozen men, each at the different portals of the train, looking for me. And one of them came up to me and said, "Are you Nance?" And I said, "Yes." He put me in the Jeep with the rest of the men that were there, and we went to Camp Forest, Tennessee.
So top secret.
When we got there, I said to him and stopped, and when I got out of the Jeep, I said, "I need to call my wife because she doesn't know where I'm at." And he said to me, "The Army will take care of that."
Oh.
Trust the Army. So, trust them, right?
I lost my identity right then, and I was with the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops.
That's
and,
amazing.
And the Signal Company Special. But my record stayed with the 11th Armored Division.
Oh, it did.
Oh.
There was no such a thing as the Signal Company Special, 23rd Headquarters
right,
Special Troops.
Top secret.
It didn't exist.
It was the Ghost Army.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there's been some recognitions now. Madeline, maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. For example, I guess the story of the Ghost Army is now being entered into the Congressional Record.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that are happening all of a sudden, and all these veterans are just being like, "It took 75 years for you to do this."
Yeah.
But...
Well, there's not many left.
Mm-mm.
How many do we
know? There's only about 15 that we know of.
Out of 1,100.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they're all in their 90s and 100. So.
Yeah.
And we're losing them.
Mm-hmm.
But this will be now on the record, and we'll now know more about it, right?
Yeah. And so when I went to Ben McAdams' office, which was in the Deseret News article, he surprised me and Grandpa with his entering us into the Congressional Records. But that is just lately. This all started with that tour, right? And at the tour, it was huge because at the anniversary of Operation Bettenberg, I believe, in Bettenberg, Luxembourg, there was a historical marker placed and dedicated. And it was the first historical marker ever about the Ghost Army, and it's so cool.
Yeah.
And then now we're pushing for the Ghost Army to be in... given a Congressional Gold Medal. And so while I was at D.C., we had a tour of Capitol Hill, and we met our senators and Ben McAdams. And I lobbied for the bills and everything that...
Yeah. She's 15, if you're just joining
us.
Yeah,
15. You're Orem High student, right?
Yeah, but when this project was, I was actually at Lake Ridge Junior High.
Oh,
Lake Ridge Junior. Let's give him a little shout out.
Sure.
Madeline Christensen. So we look forward to learning more about them and getting this more on the record and more recognition as this moves forward.
And a movie in the works, I'm hearing?
Yeah, with Ben Affleck directing and being an actor in it. So it's cool.
I love it. Of course, it's a made-for-Hollywood movie.
Oh,
it feels
it
like
has
it.
Hollywood written
all
over it.
What a great...
We're getting some texts from people saying, you know, this seems exactly like this should be made into a movie. It's, but people are writing us, they were saying, you know, that this just needs to be told in the truthful way. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see it on the big screen and say, well, that's not what happened. Are you making that up?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So again, if anyone's joining us and they just missed this segment, go to thedeseretnews.com and look up the story of the Ghost Army. And we've had in with us, the time has flown by. We're going to take a break for our news, but we want to remind everyone who we had here with us. Michelle Christensen, Madeline Christensen, who did so much work, but all the recognition to Staff Sergeant Stanley Nance.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for telling us this wonderful story.
We're grateful for you for being here. When we come back, we'll kind of wrap up the show here with Brian West and Mary Richards on with Dave and Dujanovic. And thanks for listening to KSL News Radio.
Dave and Dujanovic.
What's up, everybody? I'm Mike Wilson with Any Hour Services, and we're proud to help bring you this podcast. If you ever need a resource for information about your home's electrical, plumbing, heating, or air conditioning system, you can find Any Hour Services on Facebook, YouTube, or online at anyhourservices.com.